have a good crowd this morning and encourage you to take your Bibles as we study the lesson. Are there different roads to heaven? Are there different roads to heaven? Over in John chapter 6, we find where Jesus fed the 5,000, and then he departed from them, and those that were fed sought Jesus. In verse 24, it says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. A shocking statement, wasn't it? Just like the shocking statement that when people ask them, there are different roads to heaven, you say, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. That's shocking to them. And Jesus made a number of shocking statements in this text of Scripture. Jesus said in verse 33, he says, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, he giveth life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth of me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye shall also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Another shocking statement. The men denied that Jesus was the Christ. In verse 41, the Jews murmured at him, because he had said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man that therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, ye that believe, or he that believeth in me, hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life, he said. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And then he went on to talk about how they must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. That was shocking to them. The Jews especially, because they were not to eat blood, nor were they to eat flesh that had blood in it. But he's talking about believing his doctrine. That's what that refers to, believing his doctrine. Now go to verse 60. And because he said that, they were shocked at that. Many, therefore, disciples, when they heard this, said, It's a hard thing. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man descend up where he was before? What are you going to believe then? Will you believe me? It is the Spirit which quickeneth. The flesh giveth profit nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore unto them, I say unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, verse 66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's a good question, isn't it? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So he knew, they knew, or Simon knew that Jesus had the words of eternal life. There was no one else to go to. That was a shocking statement by Simon, wasn't it? And Simon said, We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Jesus made another shocking statement over in John chapter 14. And he said, beginning at verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God? Believe also in me and my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, on the way, you know. And Thomas said to him, doubting Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus makes another shocking statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus eliminated any other way, didn't he? He said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So the false idea of there being different roads to heaven is not a new one. It's not new. Over in Romans chapter 10, Paul prayed for his brethren. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have revealed God, but not according to knowledge. He said in verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, they didn't want God's way, they wanted it their way. And Paul said, for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness, which is of faith, or the faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, the gospel, which we preach, Paul said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. And Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, over Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So we've seen where the proponents of this idea today express a feeling that no religious system or group has a monopoly on truth. That's their argument. They say it doesn't matter what church you're a member of. They take the one church is as good as another approach. And they claim God can be reached through any number of religions. But this view is not found in the Bible, is it? If you do a critical study of God's Word, which we'll do this morning, it's not found in the Bible. So we'll consider what the Bible teaches that shows this view to be wrong or to be in error. First of all, the multiple roads idea ignores and denies the claim Jesus made in John chapter 14, verse 6. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He eliminated all other ways, didn't he, by that statement. That's a shocking statement. That's a narrow-minded statement, you might say. See, there's no other way to enter heaven except through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins. In verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believe in him, he said, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, for Jesus to be our Savior, we must hear and obey his word. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, turn that around. If we don't keep his commandments, then what? We don't love him. In John chapter 14, verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What are we if we do not do what he commands us? We're his enemy, aren't we? See, to be a recipient of salvation through Jesus, we must be a member of his church, the one that he built. Over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he said, if thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Singular. He didn't say that he promised to build a multitude of churches or a church of your choice, did he? Or nor did he say you can attend one church and it's just as good as another. He didn't say that, did he? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. See, as we know, the church is his body. We must be members of his body to be saved. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, Paul said that he has put all things under his feet. He gave the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The soul becomes that fills all in all. So the church is the body. The body is the church, isn't it? Salvation is in Christ, in his body. And we are permitted or allowed to be in Christ by being obedient or being baptized into Christ. Paul told the Ephesians that they were children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For, here's the reason why. The word gar, the Greek word gar. For, here's the reason. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So because they had been baptized into Christ, they were then children of God by faith. Paul said in Galatians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he says, for by one spirit are you all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. See, we're then, when we're in that one body, that is the body that we must be in. We must be in the one true church to be saved, mustn't we? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, there is one body, didn't he? He didn't say two. He says, there is one body, and he establishes the body of the church. The church is his body. And one spirit, he's called, and one hope you're called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, members then of this one body are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, Paul told the Corinthians. Notice what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul said he was called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. And then he said, and the church of God is that car, and to them that are sanctified. Where? In Christ. How are we? Do we get in Christ? We're baptized into Christ. He says, called to be saints. Called by how? The gospel. Called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of our of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Notice the call are those with all that in every place. So, you know, the sainthood wasn't just limited to Corinth, wasn't it? Was it? It was wherever. Wherever those who obeyed God were. You know, Ephesus, other congregations, the seven churches of Asia. All those were saints, weren't they? They were called to be saints. Because they were called in that one church, the church which is his body. See, the multiple roads makes the truth relative. Or denies Christ. And the Bible teaches there that there is no other way to heaven. That one must be obedient to the faith, mustn't they? Must be obedient to the one faith. And turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, where Paul said there, he says, there is one body and one spirit, even your call and one hope of your calling, as we read. And then in Jude, verse 3, you see where the one faith is mentioned. And Jude said, beloved, when I give all this to write you the common salvation. Notice that word, that phrase, common salvation. What was that? That was the one faith, wasn't it? That with all in every place, when they believe that, they're sanctified in Christ Jesus. That common salvation, that one faith. But Jude went on to say he gave them, he was built as well to them of the common salvation, and was needful for me to write to you, and exhort you should earnestly contend for the faith. The faith, the gospel which was once delivered, once for all time. That gospel which has professional validity even today, doesn't it? So it's the one faith. The one faith. There's not two. See, the one faith is the gospel the apostles preach, isn't it? Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 22 and 23, that he was unknown by faith to the churches of Galatia which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he was persecuted us in time past, now preach the faith, or the gospel, which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in him, he said. Then in Galatians chapter 1, he certified to them that the gospel which was preached of him was not after man, for he neither received of man, neither was he taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, Peter talked about this one gospel. When he talked about the brevity of life and the enduring nature of God's word, He said in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, he said unto them. So as we think about this idea that there are many faiths, there are many roads to heaven, you know, these claims that people made, the Bible teaches there's only one faith, Ephesians 4, verse 5, doesn't it? One. How many is one? It's just one, isn't it? We all understand that. Just one. Yes. Elena's got her finger up, one finger. One faith, not many. Not faith of your choice. So the fact that Jesus is the only, he's the one and only way to the Father eliminates any possibility of there being any other doctrine, religion, or worship that one can follow to get to heaven. Shocking to a lot of people, isn't it? See, Jesus said when he denounced the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, he said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Any religious idea, any doctrines that don't emanate from God's revelation will be rooted up. See, this idea of the multiple roads to heaven makes the truth relative, not absolute. See, God's word is absolute. And if the many roads to heaven claim is true, it would be, or would demand that the truth, so-called, be based on subjective ideas of man and not on absolute truth of the scriptures. Whatever man wants the truth to be, it could be. It could vary. It could just change. But not with God's Word. The Bible presents God's Word as the truth, the standard by which any doctrine is measured, doesn't it? In Acts chapter 17, we see where the text is there that the brethren sent Paul and Silas away by night. And they came and went to the synagogue of the Jews, and there were those that were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And if they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so, they wanted to know. They wanted to go by the true standard. Here, said if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Notice he says, if any man speak. That is coming up on any man who teaches or proclaims to be a proponent of or teacher of God's word. If any man speak. He's to do that by speaking the utterances, revelations of God. John says in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So when we go beyond, when we teach things that are of opinion, when we teach false doctrines of men, these vary, don't they? How many false doctrines are there? So many. How many true? One, isn't there? The common salvation. The one faith that was once delivered. You see, those or anyone who preaches any other doctrine, they're accursed, aren't they? Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now, again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that should receive, let him be accursed. See, God's word is truth, isn't it? No, God's word, the Bible, is truth. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, that his disciples will sanctify his true truth. He said, sanctify things by truth. Thy word is truth. The gospel they were delivered my Christ to preach was that truth. That could unite all men who abode in that truth. Timothy was told to speak the truth, wasn't he? He was assured that the truth was from God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, Paul said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
What had he learned?
Well, remember his grandmother and Eunice, they were faithful. And Paul speaks of them as remembering that unfeigned faith which is in me, which dwelt first in my grandmother Lois, my mother Eunice. He said, I am persuaded that in thee also. So Timothy had learned from a young man, and Paul urged him to continue the things that he had learned, and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. See, Paul taught him, his mother and grandmother taught him. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, so we can be made complete, completely equipped to do what God wants us to do by following His Word. That truth is not relative, is it? It's absolute. See, the truth that Paul spoke, he spoke in every church, didn't he? Same truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, for this cause I sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul didn't teach one thing one place and something different another place. In chapter 14, verse 37, Paul said the things he wrote, they were the commandments of the Lord. Paul was inspired. All were to speak the same thing and have the same mind. We can do that when we are following the same truth. Paul urged the Corinthians to do that. He said, now I beseech you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I beseech you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by that authority, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Can we be perfectly joined together, be of the same mind and of the same judgment when we have this idea? Or if we are deluded and have the idea that truth is what you want it to be, it's just relative, not absolute. Paul to the Philippians, he said, let all your conversation, your manner of conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He said that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Does the gospel of Christ unite? It doesn't divide. It unites. Because it's the same truth. It's the same truth that should be taught. So truth did not vary then from church to church, place to place, or person to person, did it? Paul told Timothy, he said, he charged him, urged him, he said, and the Lord Jesus, by that authority, he shall judge the quick and the dead, as is appearing. He said, preach the word. What was the word? The truth, wasn't it? He said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the gospel, the truth, which is absolute. But after their own lust, they'll heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth to be turned to fables. So today we hear of many congregations, many even denominations, bringing things in new. They want to bring all these new innovations in. But these new innovations, you don't unite, they divide. See, the truth was the very basis by which unity of faith and practice was attained. Paul said this over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. He says, I therefore, the prison Lord Jesus, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then he said, there is one body and one spirit,
is your calling, one hope, your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. So that platform of unity, those seven things we're going to abide in, if we vary in one of them, that destroys unity, doesn't it? Over in, later on in that chapter, he said in verse 11, that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Well, he tells us, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so we all come into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, the psalmist said in Psalms 133, verse 1, it said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for a brother to dwell in unity. It's good, it's pleasant. Not unity in diversity, but unity in truth. Unity in truth. See, holding to the revealed truth eliminates any church which does not recognize God's word as its only standard. If you think about the churches in mentioned in Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, there's seven of them, aren't there? And in Revelation chapter 2, we see the angel of the church of Ephesus mentioned. He said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right, these things saith, he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how that thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, he said. He said, nevertheless, I have someone against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Evidently, they had turned away from God. They weren't as strongly committed as they first were when they obeyed the gospel. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first work for us, I will come and be quick and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. See, we are the congregation. Think about it. Those churches, those seven churches that were there then, they don't exist now. Why is that? They're not so long. Could it be that their candlestick was removed? Of all the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Philadelphia's the only one that didn't get a rebuke. They're the only one, but they were told to not let go with what they held on to then. John wrote unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, he said. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, an opportunity, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name, he said. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Why? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I will come quickly, and he says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. How can man take away our crown? By believing error of man. By believing men who do not speak as the oracles of God, who do not speak the truth that are revealed in Scripture. To men who are afraid to proclaim God's Word, as Paul did, when he said that he had not ceased to preach anything to them that they were in need to know of. See, he said in verse 12, he that overcometh, well, I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. See, this kind of solidifies again what Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 13. He said that every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. See, the Bible teaches that Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. So this idea of the multiple roads makes every man of God in his own eyes. It denies the authority of Christ. It makes man his own authority. See, the way of man is not himself, is it? Jesus said he had all power in heaven and in earth. But the way of man is not in himself. Jeremiah says this. He says, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man that walks the direction of steps. He's not capable. He's in need of God. Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, the teachings, the doctrines of men nullify one's relationship with God. When one teaches and holds on to the doctrine commandments of men, his fellowship with God is made null and void. Jesus said that to the scribes and Pharisees, he called them hypocrites. He said, well, does Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor them with their lips, but their heart is far from me? Why? He said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. See, man is not been given the authority to devise his own ways, has he? We mentioned, read Romans 10, where Paul urged his brethren, prayed for his brethren, that they might be saved. He said, not in the situation they were in, but that they might come to the truth. He says, for I bear them record that the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness and not submit themselves unto the righteous God. So Paul preaching to them the fact that the law ended by the gospel of Christ, didn't it? So, accepting the authority of Jesus to reveal the scriptures eliminates any church. He was added in a creed, doctrine, or tenet not found in the Bible. So, in review, now those who appeal to the multiple roads idea, what do? We gave them three things they do. They ignore and deny the claim of Jesus in John 14, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes from the Father but by me. They make the truth relative rather than absolute. They make every man his own God and deny the authority of Christ, don't they? See, the one road to truth, salvation in heaven, is the gospel of Christ. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, Jesus speaks of two roads, and we'll look at that in a minute. So don't be deceived by the error of man that all roads lead to heaven. That's a deceptive, very accepted idea. Well, follow God's way. Man's way leads to eternal death, doesn't it? Remember these words. If you don't remember anything else that we've said today, remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. Remember what Simon said in John 6, verse 68. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's no one else to go. He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no one else that has that. Who's going to give you eternal life? Remember what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, where he said, any is a straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's the easy route. It's the many roads route. There's many lanes in that road, isn't there? There are many lanes in that broad road. They're all leading to hell. That's the problem. To destruction. And Jesus said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads into life, and few there be that find it. See, the way that Jesus speaks up here, the straight and narrow way, is a one-way road. It's a one-way road. Ever been driving down the over in Stockton, you have a one-way street? Don't get caught going the wrong way. So on a wide Broadway, you can go any way you want. It's your choice. So you have a choice. Do you want to be on the any way you want road, or the one way that leads to life everlasting? What road are you on? Left is yours. Now before we close, we always send the Lord's invitation, and we're going to sing a song. And if you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge you to sing the song with us as we sing the song, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." You know, sinners must hear the gospel, repent, and believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Mary and children of God must repent and pray that their sins might be forgiven, and we as Christians must live faithfully until we die, whether it be because of what we believe or because of just age situations. But in any case, you need to always be faithful. I read an email this morning from a preacher. He said they were traveling and approaching a red light or a green light. They had the green light and a car turned right in front of them. He just missed them by inches. He thought how close to death we were there. And how we don't know when it's going to be. Now we need to be prepared all the time, at any moment. So we need to live faithful in the death. If you're in a way subject to the Lord's invitation, or if you come, and together we stand the same. Shall we stand all the same?